Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. Radical Russ here, day two of the 27th annual Boston Freedom Rally. We're here backstage at the main stage with Boo Williams. Played, what was it, five, six seasons in the NFL?
I played six, man. Six with the New Orleans Saints.
Right on, New Orleans Saints. And you were up on stage emceeing, made a couple references to your NFL career and how the players now are recognizing cannabis as something that can be very beneficial for the head trauma. Give folks a little taste of what you're telling the folks.
Man, the thing is, with us athletes, we go through things that most people really don't understand what we go through. You know, we're all beat up and battered, and we just need a little bit of relief. We really don't want to take the pharmaceutical way, but the only way, you know, they force us to do is the pharmaceutical way. So we're looking for more holistic, you know, treatment, and cannabis is really the only way to go. Because if you look at it, you know, athletes are coming up every other day, we're being tested for marijuana. But what people really didn't know was only two sports that test for marijuana and publicly release your name is basketball and football.
Yeah.
But Major League Baseball and hockey and soccer, they don't expose your name or don't test for marijuana.
Wow, that's fantastic news that we get to get these other sports leagues example followed to the NFL and the NBA, which is a good idea here. You know, it's always strikes me as funny, you know, we see these headlines of guys like Josh Gordon, you know, being sat out a season, gets reduced to 10 games. Von Miller, Super Bowl 50 MVP, had to sit out 4 or 6 games. What do you think of the NFL's attitude toward this, and when are they going to change?
Man, I think the NFL attitude towards athletes using cannabis is really in a negative way, because if they really look at it, we really use it to medicate. You know, we go home, we need it to stop all the fast thinking that's going on throughout our day. We want to be able to stop, slow down, and be able to process what's going on. And cannabis really helps us in that way, because we're usually going 100 miles per hour every day, and you're being taught to not think, only just react. So sometimes you need that little cannabis to help you sit back, think, analyze things, so you can be able to have a nice life.
So not just a painkiller or against concussions, but also the mental aspect
the
of
mental,
it. Being able to slow things down.
Yes, the mental aspect. And that's the thing that we want to do the most, is slow down so we can be able to soak things in, like this great cannabis freedom rally that we're
Hell
at.
Yeah.
You know, this is things that you soak up. And you go places like this, and you really, you look at things like this, and you say, man, wow, this is something that's special. But when you're playing professional sports, you're going so fast, you don't even get a chance to even enjoy things like this.
You know, people are getting more and more aware of the concussion issue and the CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Eugene Monroe from the Ravens just retired after 7 years and asked if he'd let his son play football. He's like, I don't know anymore. Do you worry about the future of football as people get more aware of this? And do you think cannabis could save football?
Man, you know what? I say the same thing. You know, I talk to Eugene on a daily basis. Me and him are great friends. And I say the same thing. I don't know if I'm going to let my son play. Because, you know, the game is way much different than when we played it. It's a lot much safer. But at the same time, you have kids that are bigger than me crashing into each other like cars.
Yeah.
So there's really way to end all the injuries that go on. But the thing is, if we put our kids in some different sports like basketball, like golf, like baseball, some of these sports that are not contact sports, you know, we might be able to save some lives. And then just like my slogan says on my shirt, saving lives and changing minds.
Yeah, people got to realize that a Cam Newton or a Ben Roethlisberger quarterback size now is what offensive linemen used to be back in the day. So
yeah.
it's increased the speed and the size, the mass, the collisions. It's just a whole different sport. Do you think there's things the NFL can do? I mean, I hear some old school guys say go back to the leather helmets. What do you think of that?
Man, you know what? You cannot go back to the leather helmets. But you know what? I know some teams that are really taking this tactic and they're running off with it. They're really bringing in rugby players to come and teach NFL guys how to tackle.
Yeah.
Because if you notice, rugby guys don't tackle with their head.
Hell no.
They tackle with their shoulders, and they're very good at it. So they're bringing in a lot of guys to show these guys a different way of tackling. But at the same time, when we're going at 100 miles per hour at opposite directions, you know, when we crash into each other, that's just something that just happens.
Boo Williams, you got Booberry Cares on your shirt here. Tell folks about Booberry.
Man, Booberry Cares is my new athletic CBD line. I'm coming out with the rub, I'm coming out with the vape pen and the oil, and I'm coming out with CBD water, flavored water. So this is, and it's also a brand that's heavily committed in the community. We're also on a tour right now. We're stopping in at the Freedom Rally, and I'm hosting, and this is kicking off the Booberry Cares tour. So from here, we're leaving to go into New York, and we're doing a lot of community service along the way. Children's hospitals, homeless shelters, and things of that nature.
It's Booberry, but bear spelled like a teddy bear, right? Boo, B-E-A-R-Y, and Booberry Cares. Is there a website, Facebook, that kind of stuff?
Yes, you can go to our Facebook page, or you can just type in on Google, you can type in Booberry Cares, and everything will come up right under that. I'm just really blessed to be in a position where I can be manufacturing my own products and having the first athletic line that's out. And I'm hoping that, you know, the things, you know, that we're doing rubs off on America and other people to where they can get out in the community, use that stage that you have, and change others' lives.
Boo Williams, thanks for speaking out and trying to get some care to the players. Really appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Thanks for having me. I'm just having a great time at the rally. And like I said, I wish this could be every day.
Right on, man.
All right.
Thank you much.
Thank you.
Welcome back, everyone. We are backstage at the main stage of the 2016 Boston Freedom Rally, the 27th anniversary. Joining me back here is the lovely Dr. Uma Donabalan. How you doing, Dr. Uma?
I am wonderful, Russ, and it's great to see you here. What an amazing event today again.
She is resplendent in orange today. It's beautiful. And it's a gorgeous day out here in Boston, and you're speaking here pretty soon up on the main stage. And give us your perspective being here as a doctor working with patients in cannabis as this New England area starts to get reform in medical marijuana.
Well, it's a very exciting time here. I think it's a really great opportunity since we do have medical marijuana. And my hope is that we can use cannabis for many patients that don't have the option right now. Again, I always say it's not for everybody, but yet it should be a first-line option. There's a great need for education and to bring the truth out. I really am hoping to get this medicine deschedulized is what I'm hoping for. And it should be just a supplement. It's people have a deficiency in their endocannabinoid system and we supplement it. What I'm hoping to educate here today is three facts that I want everybody to know. That no deaths from cannabis, zero overdoses, fatalities. Number two, that the U.S. government has a patent for cannabinoids as an antioxidant and neuroprotectant, which is part of everybody's life, but they need to know that. And they've had this patent since October of 2003.
Yep.
And the third thing is that all doctors used to be able to write a prescription for this, and it was in the pharmacopoeia from 1850 to 1942. So it's very important, and we are facing an opioid epidemic right now.
Yes, absolutely. And we're starting to see all this data come in on medical marijuana states. The most recent that I saw, they evaluated auto fatalities, and they looked at the blood tests of the people in auto fatalities, and then those medical marijuana states, they had half the rate of opioids in people's system. Not to say whether opioids cause the wreck or anything, just in general, are people using opioids? Half the opioid use in these medical marijuana states.
Absolutely. We're seeing that actually not just in opioid consumption. We're seeing that in the states that have medical marijuana and the dispensaries, and that's the key part, not just having the law. They need to have a place where the patients can go get their medicine and safe access, that we're seeing a 25% decrease in opioid overdoses. And 3 to 5 years, we're seeing even 30 plus. And we've seen $165 million decrease in Medicare dollars in the states that have medical marijuana.
How is medical marijuana proceeding here in Massachusetts? I mean, they passed it in 2012.
Well, among the medical community, Mass Medical Society does not support it. They don't support medical marijuana, and they are actually made it very clear that they want people to vote no on question four. Yet, I think the truth has to be told, and the truth is that this should be a first-line option, not the last resort for our patients.
Absolutely. And you mentioned the opioid overdose and that crisis, and that brings up another subject that's kind of interesting. It's how the DEA just recently scheduled kratom, which I never knew much about personally, but I'd seen it in head shops, never thought twice about it. Now that they've banned it, I'm like, hey, I got to get me some of that.
It's interesting. I just heard about it recently, too. I'm not too familiar. And people were taking this as a supplement.
Yeah.
And now they put it in Schedule 1. I mean, there's so much opportunity that we have here to really open this up. but keeping it in Schedule 1 is not where cannabis belongs, and it doesn't belong in any of the schedules. And I want people to understand the difference between descheduling and rescheduling. If we reschedule it, that means that they would just move it from Schedule 1 to 2 or 3. It would still be in the hands of Big Pharma. I do not want to see this in that. I want to see it deschedulized off of all schedules.
Like even more in the hands of Big Pharma, since they wouldn't be restricted by Schedule 1 from processing it.
We would have 85 plus pills for every cannabinoid. They would have a pill in a different form of it. And we want to make people understand we need the whole plant, you know. And I'm really saying cannabis is not an entrance drug. It's an exit drug from pharmaceuticals and narcotics. And I am bold to say that I, Dr. Uma Dhanabalan, doesn't contribute to the opioid epidemic.
That's so excellent. Question 4 is on the ballot here in Massachusetts. There's 4 other states voting on legalization, 4 other states voting on medical marijuana. As you look in your crystal ball, how soon do you think we can get the descheduling we're looking for?
Well, you know, the voters are going to vote, and so that's very important right now. We want people to get out there first to get registered and make sure you actually speak your piece, because that's the most important people to understand that this is their right. Please use it and express it. That's your part of activism. Get involved.
Dr. Uma Dhanabalan, thank you so much for talking to us, and have yourself a great freedom rally.
Thank you very much. Continue to educate, embrace, and empower.
All right.
God bless.
Thank you.